Grace Bible Church of Warren, Michigan presents The Message of Grace. We're glad you could be with us today. The Bible is the Word of Almighty God, therefore, does not need to be defended, only understood. The purpose of this program is to present you, our viewers, the key to understanding the Scriptures. There is, within the pages of the Bible itself, a God-given design for studying the Bible. All the confusion that exists within Christianity today is the result of two failures. Number one, ignoring God's design for Bible study, and number two, failing to believe what the Bible actually says. We remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 18, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall abide forever." We're instructed in the book of Romans chapter 3, verse 4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." We are informed by the book 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. And as well, God tells us how to study His Word in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. That's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's God's design. Rightly dividing the word of truth, not according to your liking, not into verses you want or don't want to obey, but making distinctions where God makes distinctions, obeying that portion of the Bible that is specifically addressed to us today. Now, here's our teacher, Pastor Thomas Boucher.
Welcome, and thank you for being with us today. It's a great privilege for us to have this time and to be with you there in your own homes. Speaking for all of us at Grace Bible Church, we trust that this show, this program, will be an inspiration to you. You know, the Bible is the most unique book that was ever written. You know, what we call the Bible, in the pages within the Bible itself, calls itself the Word of God. That's quite a claim. A book written that actually claims to be the Word of God. A book like that either is or it isn't. But I'll say there is no in-between, that's for sure. But you know, it's the accuracy of the Bible that lends proof that it is indeed the Word of God. When I say accuracy, I'm saying accuracy in history, accuracy in everything that it says. Being the Word of God, it's the only book on earth that's absolutely true. No errors. When we talk about history, the Bible is one of the oldest books that you'll ever find written. You ever study ancient history, or if you ever study ancient writings, almost always they go back and they quote the Scriptures. Because the Scriptures go back 4,000 years to the beginning of mankind and start recording the history from the very beginning of man. And so the Bible is one of the oldest books and the most accurate of all historical ancient history, the kings that existed and so forth. And every time archaeology makes a discovery, they confirm over and over again that the Bible was right. There's been times that they thought that the Bible was wrong until years later discoveries were made and lo and behold, the Bible was right after all. And the critics who claimed that the Bible had errors because they thought they knew better, they were wrong. So this Bible proves itself to be the Word of God. But not just accuracy in history, the Bible is accurate in prophecy. Prophecy. The Bible not only tells us things that took place way in the past, but it also tells us what's going to take place out in the future. Some things it told us that were going to take place in near future to the times of prophecy, just 100 years away, some 500 years away. The birth of Christ is recorded in the Old Testament with over 333 prophecies concerning Jesus Christ and where He would be born and where He would be raised and what He would do and how He would die and that He'd be risen again from the dead. All that is recorded in prophecy. And then there's prophecy that goes beyond the days of Christ, even beyond our day, way out into the future, and maybe not in the too distant future, as we think about the coming of Christ. So the Bible is accurate, and it shows itself to be the Word of God because of its accuracy. But more than that, the wisdom and truth that's taught in the Scripture lends proof that it is the Word of God. Truths that if people would sit down and read and let them guide their lives would be more fruitful and more profitable. And in that area of salvation, their life could be eternal. There's also truths that are contained in the Bible, but even beyond that, how about the preservation of Scripture? The Bible has been preserved and is in our hands and for us to read down through the years. And the very preservation of the Scripture and the accuracy of Scripture, but the preservation down through the years lends proof that it is the Word of God, that it's true of its claim. The Bible itself claims to be the inspired Word of God. Now, although all that is true and lends proof there, you know, even though there's proof that causes me to believe the Scriptures, yet God has told me that in His Word that it's not proof that He gives to man or that man is to have to approach God. There is a way in Scripture that all men are to approach God, and that is the way of faith. The Bible was not written that we would just turn to the pages and be proven as if God was going to walk down and stand in front of us and therefore we'd see God and we'd say, oh, I know He exists. No, although the Bible lends proof all the way through that it's the Word of God, God has maintained that all men will approach Him on the basis of faith. It's faith that we approach God in. And so the Bible tells us, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 11, that without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We also know that the Bible has a different point of view from which it's written. And I'd like to spend the rest of this time talking to you about that point of view. You know, the one thing that shows to me that the Bible is the Word of God is not just the historical accuracy, not the prophetical accuracy, but the point of view from which it's written. God doesn't even try to prove Himself with man, but He does tell us in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, come now, let us reason together. And so God challenges us to reason with Him. And so he asks us to approach Him on faith, but that faith is not an unreasonable faith. It's faith lent. There's some validity of Scripture. There's the proof there in Scripture that we can approach God and that the Bible is accurate. We can believe the things that we're reading. And yet we can go a little bit further than that and realize that God, in His wisdom, wrote a book that's just not written to satisfy all of man's curiosity. It's not written to tell man everything that he ever wanted to know. It's a book of revelation. It's a book that reveals God to man. It's a book by which God wants us to know Him. And then we are to approach Him on faith and believe what He says and trust the words that He has given to us. And so when I understand the point of view that the Bible is written from, that point of view is that it's a divine point of view. It's not a man's point of view. It's not a humanistic point of view. The Bible is written in such a way that it's got God's point of view and it restricts the greatness of man. You know, the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 7 and 8, that it says, God's ways are not our ways, neither are His thoughts our thoughts. And that lends proof to me that this Bible is written from something other than human point of view. See, a human point of view, a humanist, a man writing the Bible, he would glorify himself. He would say things that were according to his wisdom. He would say things the way he'd want to say them. He would say things good about himself. He would brag about human ability. He would talk about human wisdom. And man is always doing that. Any book man ever writes, he exalts himself. But you know, when you turn to the pages of Scripture, it takes man's human wisdom and it puts it down. There's no boast before God. It totally excludes boast. For instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, we're told there that man's wisdom is foolishness with God. You know, the Bible is written from that divine point of view, and it looks at man from a divine point of view and lays man out and tells man just what he really is. David, understanding that, turned to God one time and in a psalm and said, God, what is man that thou art so mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou didst visited him? David realized that God is so mighty and that man is so small. The wisdom of man is foolishness with God. Even the greatest wisdom of man is nothing before God. And the Bible doesn't brag about man's ability. It puts man down. It shows man's failure. What could be even worse? The Bible talks about man, and if he doesn't trust Jesus Christ as his Savior, the only way of salvation that God has ever provided for man, that all men are on their way to hell. See, men wouldn't write that. Men would say, oh, we're pretty good, and we're doing our best, and we're going to solve our problems, and things are going to get pretty good. But the Bible writes, and it says things are going to get worse and worse in the last days. It says that that God is going to judge the world someday in fire in the second coming of Christ. It says that men are going to stand before Him, and some people are going to spend eternity in a lake of fire because they have rejected Him and thought in their own wisdom and their own greatness that they were better than God or knew better than believing in God. So God puts down the wisdom of man. It tells us in Psalms chapter 14, in verse 1, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. You know, our modern education system, men in their wisdom today, in their higher education, in their studies, they have come to the conclusion that there is no God. And they become atheistic or agnostic, maybe if they're more honest with themselves. And yet, Psalms 14:1 doesn't play any games. It says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. But God turns around and He takes man and He wants man humble before Him. In such a way, you know, that it tells us in the book of Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 and 17, that there's six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven, and the seventh is abomination. But of those seven things that God hates, the very first one is a proud look. God wants men to recognize that they are the creation, He is the Creator. And that if we are to approach Him, we're to come to Him in faith, willing to believe what He tells us, willing to believe that He is and is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And so God puts down human boasting to put man in his place. And the Bible is written all the time, putting man in his place, in his proper place, I should say, before a holy God. Let me read to you a couple other scripture verses in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13. We read this concerning the wisdom of man and actually how God hates the pride of men. It says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy in the evil way, in the froward mouth, do I hate, says God. So God hates that kind of thinking. You know, man, he's always developing his own way of thinking. That's what humanism is. Man thinking in his own wisdom about God and say, I think God's this way, I think God's that way. Oh, I think I'll make it to heaven because I'm not too bad. And this is what I think. Why would God write his word, put it in a book, preserve it down through the years for man to simply say, I think. Concerning what man thinks, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so we realize there that God puts down the ways of man. There's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death. And so you don't trust your own wisdom. You don't trust your own thinking. You turn to God and say, God, what is it that you would have me to know about myself and about you and about how I might have eternal life with you? And God would tell us. And so we realize the scriptures tell us these things. I'd like to share with you another portion of scripture, Psalms chapter 18. This is interesting. Psalms chapter 18, verse 9, is the very middle verse of the Bible. And that's unique. I'm going to read to you verses 8 and 9 because of what the very center of your Bible says to you in a way of warning. Psalms 118, verse 8 says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. The very middle of the Bible, that's what God wants us to understand. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Verse 9 then turns around and said, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. And so you don't trust man, and you don't trust the government, you don't trust higher education, you don't trust science. The Bible says it's better to trust in the Lord. Concerning the Lord, Psalms chapter 118, verse 9, the center verse of the Bible, has 14 words in it. So there's no middle word. There's two middle words. And if you count 14 from the beginning and 14 to the end, from the end, you find those two middle words. And you know what the two middle words of your Bible is? The Lord. He's the center of everything. The Lord Jesus Christ is the center of all man's hope. He's the center of all man's truth. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The warning is trust in the Lord, not in man, not in princes, not in yourself. When it comes to that, God has made a way of salvation for every one of us. And that way of salvation is to make sure that we don't trust in ourselves and our own goodness, because, you know, we have the tendency. And if you think about it, we do. We have the tendency in the age that we live in today that man is going to solve all the problems that there is in the world. For instance, there's a tendency for us to think that as we think about the heating of the earth and the ozone layer disappearing, and of course that's man destroying God's creation, but we also we think that man is somehow going to find the answer to these things. I hope they do. I'm not trying to say anything negative about that, except that we are prone to think that scientists are going to save the world. Whatever it takes, scientists are so smart, we think they're going to save the world. We think that doctors, somehow in all their study in medicine and all, that they're going to find an answer and a cure for all of man's diseases. You know, I will challenge you to just think about, do you think the doctors will ever find a cure for old age? You get so old and you take a pill and you get a little younger and you don't have to worry about dying of old age? No, that's foolishness. We know that. See, because it's good that there's doctors here, and if you're sick and you're ill, you need to go to a doctor. Go to a doctor. I have nothing wrong, nothing against that at all. But what I'm saying is to trust in man. Will a doctor be able to give you eternal life? He might make you comfortable. He might make your life, prolong your life a little longer, but you can't trust in man. Don't trust psychiatrists. Psychology today is something that's taken over, and we just think that psychology is going to solve all the social problems that are in the world and all the emotional problems that people have, that psychiatry is just going to be the answer. That's going to make us all stable and give peace in our hearts, and it's not going to do it. We think the government will bring about an economic prosperity and world peace, and boy, it looks like they're going at it. But the Bible talks about those things going to be happening at the end, the offer of peace and safety. And then it says, sudden destruction shall come. You know, we look to government and we look to man and we think that man's going to solve everything. And we get so prideful in all our advancements. And yet God has designed a way of salvation for each of us to be saved and have eternal life. But it takes trust in Jesus Christ. It takes you putting down your pride and realize you're a sinner. It takes you to realize that you are hopeless and helpless in yourself to save yourself. God supplied to this world a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is the means by which people are going to be saved, and not themselves. And when I say that because God has designed a way that the people who are going to spend eternity with Him are never going to be bragful, boastful, proud people. Because His way of salvation has put down all pride. I'll read you some portions of Scripture. First of all, in Romans chapter 3, concerning the wisdom of man, it says in verse 1, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image like unto a corruptible man, bird, and four-footed beast, and creeping things. Then it goes on to say, wherefore God gave them up. You know, when man in his wisdom thinks he's too smart to believe in God, and he turns and he's no longer thankful to God, and he becomes vain in his imagination, the Bible says his foolish heart becomes darkened, and God gives that man up. There's coming a day when you don't want to be given up. There's going to be a day that you want to be accepted before God. And it's not going to be by being boastful and high-minded and proud in your own thinking. In fact, you know, when it comes to thinking, maybe you're not one that has trouble believing in God, but maybe you think that your way of salvation is yourself. Hey, I'm not too bad. I've done pretty good. People at work, they all know I'm a hard worker, and I try to help out in the local charity, and whenever I see a need, I supply it, and I don't cuss too much, and I do my best, and I go to church every week as well, and I put money in the offering plate. And you get through going and you say, I, and everything is yourself, yourself, yourself. God has made a way of salvation that totally eliminates you as far as your boast is concerned. It puts you in a place as a sinner. Because after all, if we weren't sinners and we could do all these things to go to heaven, why in the world did God send His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago to die on a cross for our sins if all we had to do is do all these wonderful things. No, we're dead in our sins. We're lost in sin. And it tells us in the book of Romans that God gave his law and that his law pointed out that all men are sinners. It tells us in Romans chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, "What then, are we better than they? In no wise." That is, the Jew better than the Gentile? In no wise. "For we have proved both Jew and Gentile that they are all under sin." All. It says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all become together unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." And so we realize that God has given a law and that he has shown man through that law that there is none good, that all men are sinners. The verses that tell us that directly are verses 19 and 20 of Romans chapter 3. It says, "We know that whatsoever thing the law saith, it saith them that were under the law, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth might be stopped and all the world might become guilty before God." Do you realize what that's saying? That's saying that God gave his law to stop the mouths of man. Why? Man's mouth is boastful. Man brags about himself and what he done and his accomplishment. God gave 10 holy laws. He gave a lot more, but those 10 moral laws are standing there written in stone for man to read and preserved in Scripture for man to read. Why does the Bible say God gave it? That every mouth might be stopped and all the world might become guilty before God. Guilty before God. You know what it means to be guilty before God? He's going to come back in judgment, and there is eternal damnation for those who do not trust in him. There is eternal damnation for those who are guilty before him. Oh boy, we're in trouble. We've read that all have sinned. There's none righteous. We're all under sin. In fact, Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." It goes on in verse 20 to say, "Therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." So now we've realized, now wait a minute, before a holy God, I'm in a lot of trouble. I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. Before a holy God, my mouth's stopped. I'm guilty. What do I do now? Well, hopefully you realize you need a Savior. And Jesus Christ is that Savior. God took away your boast, but he didn't take away your hope. He provided a hope. He provided his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Goes on in Romans here and tells us, "But now..." But, after God done saying that all the world is guilty before God, that by the works of the flesh shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin, after it got done condemning us, the next verse says, "But." And then it points to Jesus Christ. It says, "But now the righteousness of God," not your righteousness, God's righteousness, "without the law is manifest," is made known, "being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ." That is, the righteousness of God comes to us by means of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. He was the sinless one. He's the one who never had any sin. He's the one who was born into this world, lived a perfect life, never had to die because he wasn't a sinner. And yet by his faithfulness of going to the cross and dying as our substitute on the cross, God is able to give to us eternal life. "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of glory of God, being justified freely." Do you understand what these are saying? Justified, declared righteous before a holy God because Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, that we can be declared righteous freely by his grace, through the redemption that's in Jesus Christ. Redemption paid the price. Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the price of our sins, and God can now give us eternal life freely. God put down all human boasting by turning around and making a plan of salvation that pointed out to man, "You're a sinner, but I love you anyhow. And through my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to give you eternal life, and salvation is going to be a free gift. It's going to be by grace, and it's going to be given to those who believe." It says, "Jesus Christ, whom God sent forth to be a propitiation." That word means a full satisfying payment for sin. God sent Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our redemption, to pay for our sins. And toward God the Father, the holy God who cannot dwell in the presence of sin, Jesus Christ was the propitiation for our sins. A full satisfying payment. God the Father looked down on Jesus Christ as he hung on the cross, and he said, "That satisfies my anger for all of man's sins." And he seen there vindication that all sin was paid for. But then it says, through faith in his blood. Jesus Christ is the full payment for sin for you if you'll put your faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. If you'll believe that he died on the cross for your sins, and if you do, God will give you righteousness. That is, he'll impute to you the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He'll see your sins placed on Jesus Christ, and then he'll see the righteousness of Jesus Christ given to you as a free gift. The verse goes on to declare, I say at this time, the remissions of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be the just and the justifier of them that believeth in Jesus. See, man has to realize he's a sinner. Man has to realize that Jesus Christ is the hope that God has given. Man has to realize that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins and rose again from the dead that he might impart to us eternal life. And that eternal life is again given to those which believe in Jesus. Where the question here, where is boasting then? It says it is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. The whole point that God has excluded boasting by making salvation a free gift through Jesus Christ received on the basis of faith. There's no boasting on your part, because God didn't give you a work to do to have eternal life. God made salvation free so that if you would believe on Jesus Christ, you could be saved. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for by grace, that means getting what you do not deserve and cannot earn. For by grace are ye saved through faith. It's not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There'll be no braggers in heaven. The only people that will ever be in heaven are those who were going to realize that they could not save themselves and they trusted in God's provision, the Lord Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb of God who died for our sins and was raised for our justification. And so in heaven there'll be no braggers. There'll be only those who have put their faith in the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Has been an eye-opener to you. We are not out to destroy anyone's faith, but to establish your faith upon the truth. Only then will you experience real liberty. The truth shall set you free. If we can be of any further assistance to you, we would love to help you. You may call or write Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Our phone number is area code 313-778-5032. Once again, that's Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Area code 313-778-5032.